Welcome, and thank you for joining us for today's IBM teleconference, Adapting Business Rules and CICS Applications Quickly and with Confidence. Today's teleconference will be recorded, will last approximately 60 minutes, and will include a live question and answer session. In this teleconference, you'll hear an overview of BRMS, and you'll learn how it integrates critical System Z business applications. The speakers for today's teleconference are Daniel Donnelly, software developer, ILOG, Synergies team, and Janet Wall, product manager, BRMS Z Solutions. At this time, I would like to hand it over to our first speaker, Janet Wall.
Hello. Well, thank you very much for joining us on talking about the IBM WebSphere iLOG BRMS System Z Solutions. We'll start on slide 2. And as you can see here, we are looking at IBM to make sure that our customers are working in a smarter customer, smarter planet. And living in a smarter planet presents us the unprecedented opportunity if we can take advantage of how we can make and address these challenges. So one of the things I'd like to highlight in this presentation is how a BRMS can address your business challenges and make your company act smarter. Let's go to slide 3. So in reality, the living in a flat, global, integrated world is upon us now. And so the traditional business environments and how we look toward change and how we look at making sure we can address the pace of that change is upon us more and more. The consumers are different consumers today, and their expectations have changed dramatically. Consumers now expect instantaneous gratification to their needs, and we need to make sure that we address those changes in a rapid manner. So one of the things, as I have highlighted here on the next slide, is that your ability to address and respond to the increasing dynamics of your business network is one of those things that you need to address and you need to drive to your success. But unfortunately, too often businesses are restrained from responding to those changes. And unfortunately, the processes and the application systems that we've used today cannot help us address change. Businesses continue to be bounded by traditional organization silos, which hinder the process performance and really limit us on how we can make sure that we can be dynamic. Rigid IT systems prevent the fluid connections between people, information, and technology. Let's go on to the next slide. Today's business networks also present some opportunities. We need to be able to say, what is our ability to be able to connect and manage between the shifting elements and to make sure that we can optimize our processes? How can we look at addressing some of the key struggles that we are trying to address in our businesses today? Here on this slide, I have identified some of those struggles. A large bank was struggling with an account opening processes. Customers became increasingly dissatisfied from the process because it would take as long as 6 months to be able to do or to open an account or to make some changes to some of their accounts. And bank employees had limited visibility into being able to help their customers out. By explicitly being able to look at what the business processes were, what are the business rules that address that, and help really look at how they can be more efficient, how the bank could be more efficient, the bank had looked into implementing a new and more effective process, was able to ensure that they had the proper business rules to make account openings or account changes to be dynamic. And so they were able to decrease the time in which a customer needed to make changes to their accounts. This increased customer satisfaction. Let me go to the next slide. And on this slide, you can see that we really would like to make sure that from an IBM perspective, we want to address how companies can be smarter by providing the right technology to be able to address the changes that they need to. So we look to improve agility and time to market. How can we make sure that what the business needs to do is implemented in a timely fashion? How can you manage those rule-based decisions? Every company has to address business decisions, has to make those decisions quickly, and in addition, has to make the same decisions consistent over and over again. Another item in which companies are addressing today is how can I make changes to my legacy applications without a complete rip and replace, but really looking to address new technology, new business rules, new processes incrementally. So let me bring up the concept of making sure you can manage your decisions smarter. Business decisions are everywhere. Every company needs to address them. Every company needs to make sure that they have the right decisions. If you look at the next slide, slide 8, I listed here some of the business decisions which your company might need to address. For example, looking to make sure that they can validate information quickly and that that validation of that information addresses the new regulations that have been issued. How can we look at making sure that we have new products out there, new promotions, so we address getting and beating the competition? Also, looking at how you can make approvals to orders. Everyone wants to make sure that time is important and addressing approvals, getting new information and new products addressed is important. So these business decisions that I have listed here, which is just a few samples, are key business decisions that are on your business business's mind, but they also need to be able to change. And how can we look to make sure that these business decisions are changed frequently? On the next slide, I've listed some of the business applications that probably house some of these business decisions today, whether they're being underwriting systems, billing systems, eligibility systems, product selection decisions, systems, upsell and cross-sell systems. All of these application systems today probably have what are the business decisions and really, in essence, the business rules that need to guide these business decisions consistently over your company. So unfortunately, the traditional approach for managing business change has been embedded in people's heads, in documents, unfortunately coded within applications which are hard to find, or even in processes. So the issues that I have listed here on slide 10 show that really what happens over time and what has happened over all of the changes within these legacy applications, rules are hidden in code and isolated within an organization, which makes it hard to change, right? These changes are hard to find and track over time. Also, the rules that are used within the systems are only able to be seen by the IT professionals. The business professionals really don't understand what rules are running the applications today. Also, embedding rules in applications means that there probably is a duplication of all the rules, and unfortunately, then there might be multiple versions of what that rule and how that rule was implemented. This leads into many, many problems, and also, more importantly, leads into the fact that it makes it hard not only to change the business rules, but makes it hard to change them consistently and to react quickly for our business. When we look at how the traditional life cycle approach on slide 11, you can see that we've looked at making sure that we have adequate time for addressing requirements, looking from a development perspective and a testing perspective, and looking at making sure that we can address these over time. But unfortunately, this traditional systems approach has really not embedded how we can make sure that we have identified the business rules outside of code, basically looking at requirements from the beginning and then looking and taking those requirements from a development perspective. And at that point, that linkage of business requirements to development is broken. So when you look at how we can now really take a different approach and manage and automate your business decisions and your business rules using a BRMS. And here I have it highlighted on slide 12. So the key in looking at a business rule management system is how to make sure that once you have looked at your business rules, you want to be able to provide the technology, the tooling, to author your business rules, whether it be from a business audience at a business analyst level in being able to suggest and author business rules, or even at a more technical business analyst role and providing a way that they can author business rules. But the point here is we want to author the business rules once, manage them centrally within a rule repository, and then choose how we want to execute them. And I'll get into that a little later in this presentation. So really what I'm trying to identify here in this slide is we want to take the rules out of the code, out of the processes, out of those that are in the hard-coded in business processes today or in documents, and make sure that those business rules are managed within a central repository for reuse. And in addition, more is to be able to position them for change so we can change when the business needs them. So when you look at a different life cycle approach, as I have highlighted here in slide 13, we really want to focus on what are the business requirements and at the same time provide the business tools to be able to directly author the business rules within our business rule management system. This provides an ability to enter the rules, to be able to test them, analyze to make sure that the right rules for the business, possibly look at testing those rules before they're deployed. This way you can make sure that once you've deployed them, that you want to, that these are the right rules, that they have met the business objectives that you want. So if we look at, on slide 14, the business rule maintenance lifecycle, we're looking that now, once we have these business rules within a business rule management system, we can now be able to change them. They are now positioned for change. So, for example, if we need to change the way we do pricing today, we don't have to go through a long development cycle purely to change some pricing rules. You can go into the tooling, whether it be the tools for the technology or for the business people, and go in and identify which pricing rules you need to change to make the change, to analyze, to ensure that that business rule change doesn't impact another business rule or another business decision, validate that change, test it, and deploy it, all outside of the application development cycle that is implemented today. The focus is making sure that these business rule changes are accurate, but then can be implemented in a matter of days rather than a matter of weeks. So here you can see on slide 15 that we can have now shorter time frames and quicker time frames of deploying business policy, business rule changes outside of an application development lifecycle. This makes it easier and smarter for a company to implement changes when the business needs to. What are the new pricing changes? I need to be able to add a new product. Can I do this outside of a development life cycle? I need to make changes on how I validate customers because it's taking too long today. I need to add a few more validation rules so we can make sure that we have the right customers that are applying for business. What I wanted to do here in slide 16 is I've identified by industry some of the applications that we consider to be rule intensive. And so these are some applications that you might be looking at that if you want to say, I want to be able to separate my rules, manage my rules within a business rule management system, what are some of the key targets that you should go to in order to make sure that you can have your business be more agile? So, for example, in the banking industry, we have loan origination, credit decisioning, payments. These are very rule-intensive applications and really should be targeted for being one of the first applications in which you should start looking at how you can be more agile, how you can address some of the business needs. Another, insurance is another I've listed here in some other applications, claim processing, underwriting, commissioning. Again, these are some key areas in which they're very rule intensive, and generally companies need to act quickly and make changes. I've listed other industries in here as well that you can look at, capital markets, telecom, transportation, and retail. All these are very important applications to your business and also are rule-intensive and should be looked at as possibly some key areas in which you can start looking at a business rule management system. So one of the things here on slide 17, I wanted to just get into an example of how a company that looked at taking a business rule management system and implemented it could address not only agility, but also address how they can act smarter by improving their ROI. So this one corporation that I have here basically had a problem of their challenges were that they were missing revenue, that they were very often not able to identify what was the right offer to the right time for a customer. And unfortunately, the fact that they did not have exposure to how they identified making their decisions on what is the right offer to a customer, what are some of the prerequisites about a customer that they should be asking, type of questions, how to justify a particular offer. Well, this type of rules were embedded in code. So the decisions of acceptance of one customer to mapping one customer to the right solution was being applied inconsistently. So the solution that they looked at as these are all types of rules, how they make decisions. They took those type of business rules for cross-sell and upsell and put them into a business rule management system. This made it easy for both the business people to review and acknowledge what are the rules that they do for cross-sell and upsell. And in addition, those are the same rules then that are being implemented in their systems. This helped better IT and business alignment. This helped in making changes quickly, because if they saw problems or if they wanted to provide a new campaign in which they wanted to increase sales, they were able to make these changes very quickly. The benefit they had today was that they were able to improve their business. They increased revenues significantly because they were able to quickly address the cross-sell and upsell opportunities without a delay. In addition, their revenue increased because they were able to make sure that they applied these decisions consistently. So when we look at on slide 18, how can your company do this? What can you do today to make sure that your company can act smarter and be more agile? So what I have here is from looking at managing your business rules and your business decisions, truly the iLog VRMS is the IBM technology to make sure that you can maintain your business rules and manage your business decisions across applications and across platforms. The iLog VRMS allows for easy implementation and, more importantly, reuse of your business rules. It also helps the communication channel between both IT and business. It provides a way in which the business people can view the business rules in their business speak, not in technology speak. And the IT can use those business rules and reuse those business rules across applications. It also helps to improve regulatory compliance because within the repository, you have the versioning control and the audit trail capability to understand what rules are running your business. In addition, because you can reuse those rules and choose your execution mechanism over whether or not you want to execute it on System Z as well as undistributed, it applies a consistency of rules and a consistency of those business decisions across your applications. So when I look at showing you the iLog business rule management system on slide 19, I have highlighted here some of the modules and what roles those modules address. So let me quickly go through it. From an IT developer or a technical business analyst, we have a rule authoring environment called Rule Studio, which is built on Eclipse. It helps our developers and technical business analysts be able to design a rule application for the business. For the line of business managers or the business analysts, they have tools for rule authoring and management and maintain of those business rules. There's Rule Team Server, which is a web front-end rule authoring environment. And in addition, we provide rule solutions for Office, which helps a customer utilize Microsoft Word or Excel to manage and maintain their rules. Also, we have Decision Validation Service module. This helps businesses be able to test and simulate the business rules prior to deployment, making sure that we have the right rules to run the business before we deploy them. Obviously, the center of all of this is our rule repository, which houses and stores our rules, provides versioning and security and auditability of all the rules within your company. From a deployment perspective, we provide many ways in which you can ensure the same set of rules because we've now authored them once, managed them centrally. And from a deployment and execution perspective, you can choose how you want to execute those rules. For example, if you are looking to deploy them as a service to be used in your Z application, you can deploy them easily as a decision service. Or if you need to, you can look at deploying them to our rule execution server, which is our Java-based engine on Z as well. Or we can take the same set of rules and generate a COBOL code so this way that you, if you want to maintain COBOL execution for your application, you can do that as well. Dan will talk about these alternatives for execution later in this presentation. Here on slide 20, I've just quickly showed you ways in which we provide it easier and more intuitive for rule authoring. We provide point-and-click technology, so this way you don't have to worry about inputting all the information. It helps guide you as you're authoring your rules. In addition, we provide decision tables, which are more of a multiple like rules that have the same type of clauses. So you can, if you have a table format, you can easily write multiple sets of rules both within Rule Studio and Rule Team Server. We also provide scorecard capability. If your business or needs to look at taking a predictive model and implementing it in an application or operationalizing that scoring model within your application. Scorecards provide you that ability. Also, we have decision tree formats if that is an easier format for you to author rules. As I mentioned earlier, we have rule authoring for the business delivered in Microsoft Office. On slide 21, it highlights both our rule solutions for Office in Word or Excel. Now I will hand it over to Dan, and Dan can provide you some more details about our BRMS solutions on System Z.
Thank you, Janet. So in this portion of the presentation, what we'll be talking about is how we can use the WebSphere iLog Business Rules Management solution in conjunction with Kix to try and make your Kix assets more agile, to embrace this new technology, to allow you to respond more rapidly to changing market conditions and changing business conditions. So with this, we're leveraging your existing assets. We're not ripping out and replacing them. In that respect, we're keeping your existing intellectual capital in that system, and we're just making it more smarter, and we're making it agile. And also, because we're still on Kix, we still get the level of quality of service of running inside Kix. So we're not having to move applications off onto any other platform. So in slide 23, we see the options for running the rules with your Kix applications. So our first option is a rules for COBOL option. So what we would do with rules for COBOL is we can define rules in natural language in WebSphere iLog Rule Studio. And we can actually then take those rules and generate a COBOL subprogram which will actually implement those rules. And we can call that COBOL subprogram from our existing Kix applications or IMS applications, and indeed batch. And therefore, in that respect, we can get the value of using rules, yet still keep within a COBOL environment. And if we wanted to change those rules, we just need to modify the rules in the natural language mechanisms through Rule Studio and Rule Team Server, regenerate the COBOL application, and deploy it back onto Kix. So what this means is that your business users are effectively able to change the COBOL application without any knowledge of COBOL. With our second option, we use the WebSphere iLog JRules Rule Execution Server. Now, what the Rule Execution Server is, it's basically based on a J2EE engine, and it allows us to dynamically deploy and execute rules in a very, very flexible way. And so with the rule server, rule execution server, we would have a similar scenario in terms of how we would develop our rules. So we would develop our rules on Rule Studio, and then we could deploy those straight into the rule execution server, but we can also use Rule Team Server to modify those rules and deploy them onto the actual rule execution server itself. So on slide 24, we'll just look at rules for COBOL in some more detail. As I mentioned on the previous slide, what we can do is we can initially define rules in natural language using Rules Studio. We can then store those rules in a rule repository, and then our business users can come in and modify those rules and request that they get redeployed once they've modified them. So what would happen is that we would have some sort of rules developer who would develop the initial set of rules. Our business users can then come in and modify those rules and then regenerate the COBOL code, and then the IT department would come in and be responsible for taking that COBOL code and redeploying it to the applications. Now, the advantage of this is that the business users are the ones who define the rules. They're the ones who understand what they require the business rule to do, and therefore there's no mismatch between the expectations of the business user and what the IT department implements, because the business user is responsible for the implementation of their own rules. So in slide 25, we go into a bit more detail as to how we actually deploy this and create rules and deploy them onto rules for COBOL. So our first step is we actually take in a copybook into Rules for COBOL, and Rules for COBOL analyzes that copybook, and it creates what's called a business object model. So the business object model is basically the model that you base all your rules on. And so what we would do with this business object model is we would then take that and create what's known as the business vocabulary. So the business vocabulary will basically be a set of words that describe in plain English the elements of the business object model. So for instance, things that could be in your business vocabulary would be things like the loan, the borrower, the amount of the loan, and things along those lines. And by creating that vocabulary, you're then able to write natural language rules, such as if the age of the borrower is greater than 18, then you can proceed to approve a loan for them. So you can write a sentence rather than having to code it inside any programming language. Once you've written individual rules, you can then put them together in what are known as rule flows. So for instance, if I was doing a loan application, I may want to first check that the person is over 18. I may then want to check their credit score, and if their credit score is good, then I want to check if we're going to allow them to borrow that amount of money. So you can see that there's a set of checks that we have to do, a set of rules that we have to apply when we go through that process, and that is our rule flow. So we start off checking the person's age, then we check their credit score, then we check the amount that they want to borrow, and that becomes our rule flow. We could then use those rules in a different rule flow in a different situation. So for instance, if we were looking at opening a bank account instead of taking out a loan, we could use similar rules in that application. Once we've completed our rule flow that contains all our rules, we can then proceed to generate the COBOL source code. So once that COBOL source code is generated, it is then passed on to the IT department, and the IT department, we take that COBOL code and generate a subprogram from it. Once that subprogram is generated, they make sure that there is a call from the main application program out to that subprogram, and that the main application program can understand what has been given back by the COBOL subprogram. Once they've made the changes to the application program, everything's generated together, and now we can run the application. So basically what we're trying to do with Rules for COBOL is bring together the best of two worlds. So we're trying to bring together the actual iLog rules technology, so the natural language technology that allows business users to modify and update rules, and also have a very, very fast and efficient mechanism for calling rules inside our Kix COBOL applications. So on our next slide, slide 26, one of the sort of pain points of this that we solve with Rules for COBOL, and indeed with JRules as well, is improved agility. So let's say that you need to react to a change in the market in a timely manner. Sometimes what can happen is that the business users, we go to IT and say we need this change now, and it may take days or weeks for IT to be able to clear whatever backlog of changes that have been requested and actually get to that change that has been requested by the marketing VP. So IT, in that respect, have a number of differing priorities. They have priorities to keep the systems running. They have priorities to make changes in terms of infrastructure, in security, in auditing, and all the rest of it. And then they also have to cope with these business changes that the business requests and make those changes to the application. So the IT department's set of priorities may be different to the business's set of priorities, and consequently, it may take longer than necessary for the business change to actually be actioned. So with rules for COBOL and with J rules, instead what happens is the actual business user will go and make that set of changes. Once they've made the set of changes to the rules, all that needs to happen is the IT department simply needs to take that program and deploy it into the runtime. So that means that the business managers understand what changes they've actually made, because they're the ones that have created the rule. They haven't had to rely on the IT department interpreting what the rule is, and they've made it themselves. The other thing is that we change everything in a single place. So all our business rules are changed in our Rule Studio, Rule Team Server solutions. We don't have to go to multiple applications and try and find which part of which application we need to change. We simply change it within the overriding. We change it within either Rule Studio or Rule Team Server, and then deploy it into the runtime. So you can see from that we're minimizing risk and disruption. So we're minimizing the risk that there will be a mismatch between what IT has implemented and what the business expects, because it's the business people that are implementing this, and it's a minimum disruption because it's simply the IT department no longer need to go in and find where the rule is that they need to change, where the code they need to change is. They then avoid the need having to actually physically make a change to the code and then go in and test it and, you know, deploy it again. We remove most of that process with rules for COBOL. All we say is, well, all you need to do is take what the business user has generated and deploy it into your system. So the value of this is that you're modifying business rules in a much, much faster way. So you can actually meet market demand for change. So if we move on to slide 27, in this slide, we're looking at the business rule. We're actually looking at J rules being deployed onto System Z. So J rules is our rule execution server. So this is our J2EE server that gives us certain advantages in how fast we can deploy rules and how we can monitor rules and so on. Again, the process is slightly similar to rules for COBOL. In fact, it's quite similar to rules for COBOL, because what we will be doing is we're going in to Rule Studio or Rule Team Server, and we're creating rules and updating rules in natural language, and we can then deploy those rules straight into the rule execution server. So if we look at slide 28, we talk a bit more about the rule execution server. So we can change rules in either Rule Studio or Rule Team Server and deploy them into the rule execution server. And the advantage of using a rule execution server is that, well, you can audit the changes. You can manage who can make changes and who cannot make changes. You can easily see what changes are being requested, and you can deploy them yourself. So slide 29 gives another example of how J rules and rules for COBOL can help us deliver value to the business. So for instance, and something that was very relevant in the past 18 months, if you need to adjust your credit rules to reduce your risk in your lending applications, you may need to do that extremely quickly. And the way we can do that is that the actual business users make their changes in Rule Team Server and then deploy those changes into the Rule Execution Server, which our KICS applications will talk to actually decide what we should do in any given situation. Now, the thing about this is we avoid the application change cycle. So that means that we do not have to wait for the IT department to update the application. The business user can make the change and then deploy that change when it's required, rather than having to wait for either an application deployment boundary or wait until IT have sufficiently reduced their backlog to actually make a change to the business rule inside the application. So this means that the business now takes responsibility of business changes, allowing IT to concentrate on the real IT priorities. And the other thing with this is that all these changes are auditable. So we can see who made a change to a rule and when they made that change. And we can see that on the rule execution server console. So on slide 30, another advantage of this is that we can incrementally modernize our applications. With a lot of things that you will see from certain vendors, you will see they come in and they say, well, if you tear apart your whole infrastructure and rebuild it, you'll get this massively great advantage. And of course, many people simply say, no, we can't tear apart our whole infrastructure just to implement that because it's simply not practical. So with business rules, you can incrementally introduce it into your infrastructure. You don't need to rip and replace everything in one go. So again, if we want to reduce the cost of application maintenance and meet service level agreements in terms of how quickly business rules should be implemented on the system, we will probably want to offload that work from IT and put it back onto the line of business. And we can do that in a phased way. So we could do that by taking parts of our application and modifying parts of our application to use business rules while the rest of the application continues to run as normal. And as we go through our change process, we can gradually bring different parts of applications and different applications into our business rule management infrastructure. Now, the one thing on this chart you'll see is that this can play an essential part in a service-oriented architecture. One thing I would like to point out here is that you do not need a service-oriented architecture to get advantage from using WebSphere iLog BRMS. However, it does play a crucial role inside a service-oriented architecture if that's what you're working towards. If I move on to slide 31, what we're saying here is incremental application modernization. So when we gradually move across onto the business rule management solution, we're getting faster turnaround of business rule changes. So again, we don't have to wait for IT to make the change. The business person can make the change and deploy it, leaving IT free to look at real IT problems. And again, because we can make this gradual move from our normal application where the rules are scattered throughout the application, we can gradually take parts of it and gradually start to implement a rules-based solution so you get a nice seamless migration between the two. We also close the knowledge gap. So once we've taken these rules out of the application and have externalized them in real natural language, you can see that that's almost a self-documenting exercise. So currently today, you may have rules scattered throughout your application, hidden inside code, and by performing this migration over to rules, we're taking those rules out of the application, writing them in a natural language so that everybody can see what sort of rules are in the application and how we can change them and modify them. So if I move on to slide 32, we can see that really we've got two roles here. We've got a business rule developer, and they're going to actually design and author the rules. They're going to look at the application to find out what rules are in it and do the basic creation of business rules. For that, they would use the WebSphere iLog Rules Studio tool. And it's an Eclipse-based integrated development environment for rules. So once they've developed and tested those rules, they can put those rules into a rule repository. And from there, they can deploy them either as COBOL rules for COBOL subprogram, or as a JRules program, a JRules jar that runs on the rule execution server. Now, once those rules are in the rule repository, we can then allow access to the business side of the organization. And so there, in, on this slide, you can see the business professional can actually go into the rule repository using Rule Team Server, which is a web-based interface, and they can review what rules are there, they can make changes to the rules, and they can create new rules, and if they have the correct authority, they can also deploy rules into Rule Execution Server, or they can deploy their rules for COBOL rules and generate a COBOL sub-program, which then IT can take and deploy onto the application. So if you go on to slide 33, we look at some sort of concrete ways in which Kix can integrate with WebSphere iLog business rule solutions. So our first slide here shows Kix calling JRules via web service. So in this example, we have a WebSphere application server that is running our JRules rule execution server. And our rule execution server is hosting something called a transparent decision service. Now, what that means is that WebSphere is hosting a web service for JRules. So our rules are being exposed to Kix as a web service. So any time that we want to make a decision in our Kix application, we can simply use web services to call out to JRules running on WebSphere application server, and JRules on WebSphere application server will respond to us via a web service with the decision, with the decision that it has reached. Now, the advantage with actually hosting all this stuff as transparent decision services is that you can allow Kix to integrate with existing rules. So you can imagine if you had a rule execution server environment that exists already that is maybe used by your distributed applications, you can actually hook Kix into that set of rules by using web services. They call JRules running on WebSphere application server. So, I mean, one of the some of the advantages of this setup is that it's a straightforward web service setup. If you can set up web services on Kix, then it's a reason, and you can set up web services on WebSphere application server, then this is a reasonably straightforward solution to actually implement. The advantage also is that because you're running rule execution server, inside WAS, you get nice easy deployment with Rule Studio and Rule Team Server. And you can also use a web interface to manage and deploy rules. Now, one of the things about this particular solution is if you have lots of very small rules that you want to run frequently, say you just want to perform a simple validation against the value, so something really, really simple that you would access lots and lots of times, then obviously the overhead of making a call out via web service may be greater than the benefit of running that particular rule locally. So that may not be a rule that you would want to use in this particular scenario. However, if you had a complex rule set that made a complex decision, then of course the cost of actually making the web service call becomes much less of a problem. And it's also a more compelling case because you're hosting a complex rule centrally that can be accessed from multiple applications. So on slide 34, we show that, well, okay, so maybe we don't want to use web services. Maybe we don't have the skill to set up web services in our particular shop. The other option that we can use is to actually perform a similar function through AMQ. So in this situation, we're still running the rule execution server inside WebSphere. But this time what we're doing is we're using AMQ to make a call from our application out to through a JMS call through to our rule application. So via AMQ, Kix can make a call to J-Rules, get a decision from J-Rules, and get that decision back. So again, by hosting it inside a web server application server and running it in this way, we can allow kicks to integrate with any existing rule sets that we have. So we may, as I said previously, we may have already have a number of distributed platforms that are already using Rule Execution Server. This is one way that we could hook into that existing environment. Now, if you do use this solution, one of the things you would have to do is perform a transformation on the data so that it arrived at JRules in a form that it could actually understand it. So that's one additional piece of work you would have to do if you went with this particular solution over the web services solution. You would have to control the actual data transformation. If you go on to slide 35, it is actually possible to run a JRules engine inside a Kix Java virtual machine. Now, there is a slight semantic point that needs to be brought out here. This is not the same as the Rule Execution Server. This is a Rules engine, which is part of the bigger Rule Execution Server. So with the big Rule Execution Server that you can run on top of WebSphere, you will get things like a web service to deploy your rules, and you'll be able to look at multiple rule versions, and you will be able to audit who deployed rules, when they deployed them, when they changed them, when they created them. With the J2SE Rules Engine, all we're saying is it's the portion of Rule Execution Server that actually runs the rules. So this is the only part you will get in this particular scenario. It's only the part that runs the rules. It's not the rest of Rule Execution Server that gives you all the nice stuff like easy deployment and easy auditability. So in this situation, we have a Kix application which actually calls a JRules engine running inside the Kix JVM. So in this situation, we deploy the rules to the rules engine by setting up a number of Java properties files, Java profiles, class paths, and jar files. So it's not necessarily a straightforward task, but it is a possible deployment mechanism for your rules. And finally, slide 36, we have rules for COBOL. So it may be that you have lots of small, simple rules that you want to run very, very quickly, and you want to co-locate them with your COBOL applications. You don't want to make a call out via web services or via MQ because the overhead of making that call is too great. In those situations, that's where we would use rules for COBOL so we can co-locate the rules with our Kix application so that we're completely local on our Kix system. So if we've mentioned before, we can use rules for COBOL to generate a COBOL module that is an embodiment of the rules that we have written out in natural language. We can call this subprogram either via COBOL static linking or dynamic linking. One other option that you might like to consider with rules for COBOL is that it is also possible to invoke a rules for COBOL program via exec-kix link calls, but you would need to perform some what you would need to do is actually write a wrapper program around your rules for COBOL program to allow you to invoke the subprogram via exec-kix link. And there is a red paper that we've listed here in the slide that details how to do that. There is also a support pack, which we anticipate coming out in the next couple of weeks, which will actually allow you to automatically generate the wrapper program to allow you to invoke the rules for COBOL module via an exec-kix link call. And one of the reasons that you may want to do that is that you may want to host your rules for COBOL modules in a separate Kix region to the Kix region that your application is running in. You may want to do that because you may want to run your rules for COBOL programs in a common Kix system. that all your applications call, and in effect creating what would be a rule zoning region, and therefore you can, you know, manage all those rules for COBOL subprograms from the one place. Another reason why you would want to do it is that if you have Kixplex System Manager, you may want to take the advantage of workload management to provide sort of the availability and throughput benefits that CBSM workload management provides, and therefore you would want to create a set of rule zoning regions and use workload management to determine which region would actually provide best throughput for your actual call to rules. And with that, I would pass back to Janet to conclude this presentation.
Thank you, Dave. So what we've outlined here in the IBM WebSphere iLog Business Rule Management System is really how your Kix application can begin to look at a business rule management system to externalize your business rules to address agility and time to market. So really, we're looking at, you can look at the different alternatives that Dan has outlined as a way to do a path of application modernization. So here I have a very high-level example of how you can look toward a business rule modernization plan. So let's take looking at one of your applications. You can see, well, maybe I should start looking at externalizing and managing what my corporate rules are as part of a first phase. Those can be implemented in Rules for COBOL and generate a corporate rules for COBOL program, or possibly as a decision service, you can deploy them as well. Then the next phase could be, if it's a multi-country application, for example, let me take all of the rules particular to that particular country for that particular product, externalize them, and now look at managing those rules separately. Now, as phase one, you have corporate rules. You're now in position to manage and maintain those rules over time and quickly address corporate rule changes. In phase two, now you've done country one, and you're able to manage and be able to address changes to that particular country, to that particular product rule. And you can look at then continuing this modernization effort phase by phase. What this helps is, one, you can begin addressing modernization by implementing a business rule management system and manage your rules smart. You can look at taking agility from the first phase of your project and expand upon your agility to your business phase by phase. Now, to sum up, look at slide 38. This identifies in one slide the benefits in which your corporation can look at being able to manage your decisions better. You have reduced lead time for changes. You can quickly identify where the rules that need to be changed for that particular business decision and make those changes. And because we've now made the decisions in one location, managed my rules centrally, you can then quickly deploy those rules in the one or multiple execution paths, i.e., as a service within your Kix application or as a COBOL execution. You now can provide more personalized client interaction because you can make your changes about your what is required for those business rules quickly. You have internal and external compliance because we provide versioning and auditability of what are the rules that are running those business applications today. And also what we're finding, especially in our Kix applications, is that there's more business and IT alignment. Your business now has exposure to what are the rules that are running those Kix applications today, thus being able to then possibly looking at suggesting what are the changes that can improve my business. That ends our webinar today. We will now be able to open it up for questions.
Thank you, Daniel and Janet. Now we would like to ask you to participate in a brief electronic survey. Right after the survey, we will have a live Q&A session with the presenter. Your feedback is important to us, and we do appreciate the time you take to answer these questions. To participate, simply press the star key followed by the number that best corresponds to your choice. Please listen to all options before making your selection. Question 1. Please evaluate your level of satisfaction with today's conference. If it was high, press star 1. If it was medium, press star 2. If it was low, press star 3. Please respond now. Question 2. Was the level of technical information presented in the teleconference? If it was at the right level, press star 1. If it was not technical enough, press star 2. If it was more technical than I needed to hear, press star 3. Please respond now. Question 3. Do you have the need to change business rules in your COBOL applications today? Press star 1 for yes. Press star 2 for no. Please respond now. Question 4. We hope you have enjoyed the teleconference today. Please let us know if you are interested in receiving additional information or follow-up regarding the products discussed today. Press star 1 for yes. Press star 2 for no. Please respond now. Once again, to respond to that question, please press star 1 for yes, press star 2 for no. And that concludes our survey. Thank you all for your participation. Now let's move to the questions. To ask your question, please press the star key followed by the digit 1 on your telephone at any time. At this time, I will turn the call over to our speaker while we wait for questions.
Thank you very much. We appreciate you listening to our conference here. What I'll do is possibly start kicking it off to stir up some conversation. Sometimes we get the question about business personnel, business customers truly looking at participating in authoring and managing business rules. Is this something that they look to really embrace? And when we look at the business people, one of the things that we generally see is that sometimes it's a transition for them. So sometimes they will look to begin reviewing and approving the business rules, and then possibly within the next phase, look at changing the rules using the J-Rule templating capability that we have embedded in the project. And basically, they can change values within the rules and then quickly get into authoring and managing and changing the business rules. We do see that the business people embrace wanting to see and be able to change the business rules because they are the ones that are knowledgeable about the business rules and really are the ones that have should be enabled to be able to change them. And when they're ready to either test them or to deploy them, it's to provide them over to IT in order to do that full deployment. Another item that maybe you may want to address, and I'll address this over to Dan, is, Dan, if you can just highlight some of the differences, if there are any, on making sure they take that transparent decision service for their KICS applications. If just can review that very quickly on how they can make sure that is addressed within KICS.
Certainly, Jonathan. Well, now, what you would be doing with what is called a transparent decision service in JRealz, which is a web service, is you would be making an external KIX web service call out to that web service and getting the information back. So that would be a standard KIX web service call, which a lot of customers will have started to go down that path when they bought KIX TS 3.1 and started to explore some of the web services capability shipped with that product. Now, of course, there are shops that would also find that, well, we're not on web services yet. We're interested in JRealz. We're interested in putting it onto a rule execution server and the flexibility that gives us. But moving to a web services-based model is too big a leap for us right now. Well, if that's the situation, one of the things that I would certainly recommend is if you went for the rules for COBOL route, where it would fit in with your existing architecture much more neatly, and then you can see the value of JRealz, or see the value of rules for COBOL. And once you've demonstrated that value, then you can migrate over onto a more dynamic solution with Rule Execution Server. So what we're saying here, the important thing to make out is that we don't say that you have to rip out and replace absolutely everything. You can, with Rules for COBOL, move from your traditional applications to a rules-based but still COBOL application, and then if you wish to migrate further, you could then take those existing rules and migrate them onto a Rule Execution Server environment.
Thank you. Do we have any questions?
At this time, we have no questions.
Okay. Well, what I'd like to do is make sure that I highlight on the slide that Dan had referenced in the KIX application slide. Please reference the red paper that we have published that highlights how to take a Rules for COBOL program within your KIX application using KIX channels and containers. And also, please look toward a support pack that we will be publishing shortly on also being able to automatically generate a wrapper program for your KIX program. At this time, we'd like to conclude the teleconference.
Thank you. This concludes today's conference call. Thank you for participating. You may disconnect at this time.